You're listening to The Profile.
Hi, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. For the last 19 years, it's been my joy to investigate how Christians can lead better by talking to a variety of Christian leaders inside and outside the Christian world. So whether you are in a leadership role or simply looking to maximize your influence for God, I hope you find this next conversation helpful. The show is brought to you by Premier Christianity, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. If you were to ask leadership experts to define the characteristics of leadership, they would probably use the word vision somewhere in their list. A leader casts vision and has to maintain, recast, and keep vision alive so that people remain on course. Well, I'm delighted this week to be joined on the show by Chris Stoddard, a man who has been involved in casting and recasting vision, first at Aylesbury Baptist Church, and then later founding and heading up the charities Run, Reaching the Unchurched Network, and more recently, Lead Academy. Today, he serves as a facilitator, coach, and trustee of Lead Academy. He's also co-author of Church on the Edge. I look forward to teasing out what is meant by vision and how we can be better at creating and sustaining it. So welcome back to the Leadership Show, Chris.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
I thought it'd be useful perhaps to take you back to your time at Aylesbury Baptist Church. You were pioneering a style of service that was new to many in the UK. I became aware of you at that point. Was that your first casting vision moment as a church leader?
No, not really, actually. I've sort of been involved in, so to speak, vision casting all of my ministry. I suppose it's part of my DNA, really. I mean, I used to work with Youth for Christ a long time ago, and we decided to get a bus, double-decker bus, at the time to do schools work and the coffee bar. And so that was a major bit of vision casting that was needed because we needed all the churches in the town to pay for it, basically, and to get behind it, you know. So that was a fairly major job, and it was great. Actually, it was a great project to be part of. And then before we started our seeker services, not that we called them that, but people will probably know what we mean by it, in Aylesbury. We were very involved in faith sharing teams around the country. So that was one of my areas to sort of cast a vision for that, really, and head those up. So, and since with various other organizations, I always need something, a project on the go, really.
Well done. Well, Chris, in the literature on leadership, there seems to be a difference between vision and mission statements and setting goals. And confusingly, not everyone agrees. So let's get a bit of clarity on our terminology to start with. How do you see vision versus those other categories?
It's very true, actually. And with the work we do with Lead Academy, which is working with church leadership teams in learning communities, when we get them together in the first session of their 2 years with us, that's one of the things that we look at, because different terms mean different things to different people, really. So we try to clarify that a little bit. And I think the easiest way to say is that our mission statements, or our we call it the purpose statement, it's really the why. This is why we exist. This is what we do. So the mission statements are saying, what has God called us to do in this time, in this place, in this context? That's the big picture thing. And that doesn't really change, or it certainly doesn't change very, very often or very much. The vision side of things, we tend to speak more of in terms of where and, you know, what we see up ahead. Vision is about direction of travel. So you've got your purpose, your why. This is what God has called us to do. And the vision is, how are we going to start to move in that direction? And, you know, in some ways, we may never get there. I often think of it as a little bit like a horizon. You know, you go up on the hills and look out, or on the sea, and you come to the point where the sea meets the sky, or seems to, you know, or the land meets the sky. We call that the horizon. Of course, it's not a real place, but because as you travel there, then new horizons open up. I think that's a good picture of vision, really, you know, that it isn't that we can just sit back and say, right, we've achieved the vision. Now, let's go and watch Netflix or something for the rest of our lives. It's the next thing opens up, really. So it's the why is our purpose. The where, I think, speaks of the vision.
Okay, that's really, really helpful. Thank you. Just to say, there are those skeptical about this kind of language. I've met some church leaders. They say, well, we're just about sharing the gospel. That's the only vision you need. Or this management speaks, not necessary. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would agree. We try very much to avoid the management speak sort of side of things. But I would say, we've come across that as well. I think less so these days, I have to say. We have to have a vision in our lives to just live our lives in some ways, you know, to put some structure in our lives and to know how we're doing, really, and are we achieving the things that we want to do with our lives. Jesus had a vision. He came. He said it came to reach the lost sheep of Israel. You know, it wasn't to everybody at that time, although the message was to everyone, but his role was to do that. He had a vision that to share the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is amongst you. And of course, he had his eyes fixed on the cross very clearly, and that was the direction of travel. And Paul, of course, was a great visionary. I mean, he went to the Gentiles, you know, and he set out on his various missionary journeys. But interestingly, a bit like the horizon, Paul's vision, although the vision remained firm, his strategy sort of changed as he went along. You know, he found that he got shipwrecked, or he got arrested, or you know, an angel told him to go to a different place, or whatever it may be. And so I think, you know, we hold vision tightly, but we also, in a part, we hold it loosely as well, so that we're true to it, but we also are prepared to change with it.
Chris, you've been involved, as we've said, in church, and I forgot about Youth for Christ, but that as well. And now two charities, Reaching the Unchurched Network, what was known as RUN, and Lead Academy. Well, you had to cast vision. What do you think you got right, and how would you maybe go back and do things differently, if at all?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I suppose you ought to ask the people that were in our churches.
True enough, <yeah. laughs>
I'm sure there'd be a lot of opinions on that. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And I remember hearing a talk once where somebody gave to one of our groups and said, you know, they talked about hindsight, looking back, foresight, looking forward, but said what we really need is insight, and real insight into, you know, what God is saying to us at any one particular time. I think that, I think probably what we got right is that we put energy behind the vision. It was well thought through. As best we could. We didn't come in any of the things that we've done saying, this is the definitive, God has absolutely declared this, and we, you know, if you don't believe the way we're doing this, then you're all out of sync with what God's plan is in your life. But we got gathered people around us that would give us clear insight into what was happening and what God was saying, but also would drive the vision with us and not be on our own. So I think there was that. I think I came pretty quickly to realize that in any church context, you would get a percentage of people that would always, that they will jump on the next vision, whatever it is, you know, a change. Yes, I'm there, you know, and this, they will just be with you. And, that's perhaps, I don't know, 10%. 10% of the church will probably never change under any circumstances whatsoever, you know. But you've got this middle 80% or whatever that actually you need to bring along with you, and that they're at different levels. And I think that was one thing that was a process of learning. Now, those percentages are different in every church, of course, you know, but everyone will know that the sort of groups that are with them, those that are against them, and those in the middle. What I would say, however, is that especially when we were changing to have our seeker services, which we ran every week for 8 or 9 years, actually, so it was a huge change for the church. We're quite a large church. Is that one of the biggest surprises is that some of the people I thought would be most against what we were doing turned out to be most for it. And some of those that I thought would, you know, that super keenies, you know, that they would be most for it, were actually quite against it because they felt they were missing their regular slot because things were somewhat different, you know. And the difference with that was actually whether people brought people to the services, to the events. And so we had one person that I thought would be dead against, but actually invited her neighbour, who became a Christian on the same time she ever came. And so it just changed her view. You know, says, "Oh, I, you know, I don't like all this modern music and all the rest, but I do understand it, and I just support you. You know, and it's wonderful my neighbour's come to faith." So, you know, it's a process, isn't it? So, yeah, and I'm still learning, even though I'm getting to a great age.
Well, well done. It's good to hear that lots has been encouraging along the way. Of course, when it comes to casting vision, you know, there's this kind of what's called BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goals and that kind of stuff. And you know, there is a line of thought that we're encouraged to dream big because God is, you know, almighty and all the rest of it. And yet, there needs to be some realism along the way. And I just wonder how you pitch things so that you're trusting God, but you're not, you know, it's not kind of let's reach the whole of Aylesbury, you know, in 2 years or something that's unrealistic. So how do you cast appropriate vision that fits those two categories, if you will, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I remember going to a church years ago, actually, and it was a largest village. And their vision was to reach, I can't remember the figure, it was astronomical, so like 10,000. Well, there was only about 800 people lived in the village. And even if you counted all the surrounding area, you know, a quick mental bit of arithmetic, because I was driving around, I thought, you know, it really is not realistic, you know. No. And all that does is actually frustrate people and people lose heart, you know, and may even lose faith, you know, in some ways. So that itself is not great. What we try to do with what we're doing with Lead Academy at the moment is, after churches have been with us for a couple of days, we meet every 6 months, is they have to do an action plan. And on that action plan, they put down, these are the things that we're going to do to help to fulfill the vision over the next 6 months. And we really encourage them to really be stretched within that 6 month period to dream big, but they have to put down on the action plan, how is this going to happen? Who's going to be responsible for it? How are you going to measure it? You know, what resources are you going to need? So that they actually think through some of the implications. But even so, that they don't just put the easy wins down there, that it's going to stretch them. And when we come back after 6 months, we always get them to report back. And it's just so inspiring listening to what people have done. And usually they've exceeded. You know, not everything works, but it is encouraging. So we need to be realistic. I think that's a godly thing, but also we need to be full of faith as well. And our God is an amazing God, and he can do, you know, amazing things. And just because, you know, we don't have what God wants to do written down on a plan doesn't mean he can't do it anyway. You know what I mean?
No, good to remember that. Absolutely. You mentioned Lead Academy, Chris. You work with local churches on developing and sustaining vision. Are there any sort of general principles you would want to, you know, any do's and don'ts as churches themselves? Some will perhaps be coming to you with a very sketchy vision or none at all.
Well, I mean, as I said earlier, we always start with the why, actually, and the purpose. And we find sometimes that even large churches, some very well-known churches, you know, that seem to have it all together. And sometimes when we found that they've signed up for it, we think, oh, gosh, I'm not sure what we're going to be able to contribute to them. And we've had people come and said, you know, we've got this reputation of being successful, and we are, in a sense, we're full, but we're really not sure why God has what God has called us to do at this time. And we really need to revisit that. And it's like a plumb line. That is saying, you know, let's look at everything that we do in the life of the church and say, does this match up with the purpose that God has given us and the vision that God has given to us? And you know what it's like in churches. We're very good at starting things, not very good at stopping things. And so things get at all sorts of angles to the plumb line, you know, so that, you know, it goes offside. Some of those things can be brought into line and say, well, yeah, we can make that more missional, or, you know, help our discipleship or whatever it is. But some of those things just probably say we put in energy, time, resources, people into those things, and they're just exhausting us, and they're not fulfilling our purpose. So I would say that it's really important to keep on going back to what is the main thing that is ours to do, and then look at how can we do that most effectively, and who's going to do it with us, you know, and build us, you know, a strategy is, I mean, I hate the term strategy, really, because, you know, as you say, you think of business speak all the time. But it's actually just saying, how are we going to start fulfilling this vision? You know, the vision is a big picture. But the strategy is, well, we need to take that hill over there. You know, first of all, that's where we need to go. And this is how we're going to do that. And then the next thing will come up. So strategy changes all the time. But these other things remain. So, but keeping clear about what is the main thing is vital, I think.
Chris, you spoke about the different types of people within a local church, and manifestly a leadership team may have been discussing a vision for some time. They come out and they announce it, and it takes a long time to filter in, especially with church attendance being sporadic these days. I just wonder if you've got an idea of the sort of time frame whereby people get it and either go with it or don't, and you as a leadership team have to rethink or reassess?
Well, it's a bit, how long is a piece of string, actually?
I appreciate that.
It all depends, in a sense, what it is that you're trying to do. I mean, if the vision is, if you like, a hard vision, like we've got a vision for a cafe, say, attached to the church or in town or whatever, then there's some very practical things that need to be done in order to make that happen, you know, and you go to a site that can invite everyone to go down to the place and whatever it may be. And that probably has got its own definitive time frame. But some other things are much wider and, if you like, softer visions in that. And so that's why it's sometimes difficult to know how you're doing. It's always good to find a way to measure how we're doing. You know, someone said that the strategy that we're employing is perfectly designed to give us the results we're getting at the moment. And if no one's coming to the church, for instance, then that's the strategy is being fulfilled, because you don't have a strategy to get people to the church. Now, I mean, that sounds very simplistic, but I think people understand that.
Yes, absolutely.
But I would say, and one thing I've definitely learned, is that you can't just have a vision Sunday one day and say, this is the vision, and share it and give leaflets out to everybody and do a great PowerPoint presentation or whatever it may be, and then that's it, and think everyone's got it. They absolutely haven't. As you say, people come at different times, but even those that, as I was saying, think that you have really got it and are absolutely with you, that it takes time to understand. So you have to find multiple ways, you know, one-on-one, taking people out for coffee, meeting in their homes, getting people on side with you. The key to this is having team behind you, really, if you're a church leader, that are going to challenge you, but are actually going to really help to fulfill this. So, and the other thing that happens is new people come to the church. And so, you know, over the course of a year or two, there's bound to be some change, you know, and you can't just assume that they'll pick up the vision by osmosis, if you like. You know, it doesn't work like that. So many churches I know, they at least once a year, they'll go over and say, we're going to go over the vision again, saying, this is why we do what we do. This is why we meet at this particular time, because we're trying to reach these sort of group of people. Or this is why we've taken all the pews out of the church and put chairs in there, because we want it to be accessible for the community or whatever. And say, well, this is why we do it, and this is the church that you're joining, you know. So I think you can never say it too much, keep banging the drum, really, you know. And it goes back to the why. This is why we exist.
Well, that was going to be my next question. It may be redundant now, but I'll ask it anyway, because you were a leader for one church for 14 years. That's a good stint. And people will have heard your voice, saying stuff. And then you say you have to recast the vision. And I just, there's that sort of tension of, like you've said, is is keeping it fresh. And I don't know how you manage that. And of course, leading the charities as well, you had a good run at both. And again, you're having to recast vision amongst new trustees or with other staff or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think the key there is the team. And again, because your team, and that can mean different things. If you're in an Anglican church, it may be a PCC, or it may not actually, it may be a leadership, depends how big your church is really. If you're a Baptist church, like I was, then you have an eldership or a leadership of some sort. But it's keeping the vision fresh within the team. And sometimes that means that you've got to invest in building the team and making sure the right people are on the team and making sure that they too are very clear about the purpose and the vision. And also being creative, not making sure that you're listening to other voices. And I think there may be different ways we can do this. It may be that God is directing us in some other areas as well that'll help us to fulfill the vision. Often things that we do are tools, they're just tools, they're not sacred in themselves, the sort of meetings that we put on. We often say that's about learning communities, which is what we do. And we're working with 400 or 500 churches at the moment, or have done up to now. And we find that learning communities really work well. But we always say they're a tool. If we find a better way of doing this, then there's nothing sacred about those. They're not enshrined in scripture, we'll do something different or we'll add other things as well. So God constantly got to be saying, God, what are you saying at this time? Don't let me just, the danger is you get stuck in a rut and then just people start to drift away, or in their hearts they drift away as well. And it's really important to keep the vision bright and burning bright, I think.
You took the courage of stopping a pretty successful charity in Run. I remember, meeting with you in the gap between the two, and well done for stopping one thing and starting another. But you obviously had a time when you sensed, it's time to stop this and start that. That took a bit of courage, I imagine.
It did. We didn't have to stop by any means, and I think we'd always felt with Run, we were an organisation helping churches to be creative about their mission, really, and similar to what we do at Lead Academy, but it was a bit wider. We work just with senior leadership now, and we just felt that we'd achieved what God had called us to do, and that we didn't have to have someone, 50 years time celebrating, 50 years of how well we've done, and that's not knocking the organisations that do. But the way it was time to move on to something else. The interesting thing is that when we actually drew, and we wanted to finish well, and not just sort of peter out, so to speak. But once we'd made that decision, I was contacted by quite a number of Christian organizations in this country and actually further afield, saying, we're in a similar situation. We could keep on going, but we really feel that we've lost the direction of, so often they got funding behind them and legacies or something like this, and so they could just keep going, but felt that they wanted to talk about and think through, should we actually still be in existence? And should we make the bowl move? And then it frees you to do other things, and it's, it can be, it's a challenging thing to do, but it can be very fruitful actually as well.
Well, there'll be some leaders listening who just about know about Lead Academy perhaps, or maybe know very little. So how would people get in touch? And you mentioned learning communities there. Every 6 months for a couple of years, is that the idea?
Yes, that's right. You meet basically with other churches. We say usually between 6 and 10 other churches, like-minded sort of churches, so maybe similar sizes or similar contexts, and we put folk together and work for two days every 6 months, and we look through key things such as purpose, vision, values. We look at leadership. We look at mission, and we never push a particular model. We're saying let's find out what the context is for you and what mission looks like, and discipleship, and what it really means to be a follower and how to, because that's what we were, that's the only thing Jesus told us to do is make disciples, actually. So, you know, that's, discipleship is everything. So you can find out about us on our website, which is leadacademy.net. And there's a form on there you can, if you want some further information, or you can email us at info@leadacademy.net. And we'd really be, delighted just to have a chat. Just let's explore together whether something like that might be good for you. And we've got a number of things coming up, actually, over the autumn, new things starting. So might be a good time to do that.
Excellent. And, of course, they're geographically based, so you don't necessarily have to travel very far.
No. Well, we try to, I mean, you know, as much as possible, we try to have things at different parts of the country. But we've had people traveling all over. So, yeah, they're great fun as well. And you make good friends with from other churches. And actually, quite a few have pinched youth workers from one another. Or, or worship leaders. We've had that a few times.
Well, it's a joy to chat with you, Chris. Thank you so much for what you've shared on Vision. And this will be sparking off the minds and hearts of many listeners. So thank you so much.
Great. Great to be with you. Thank you.
That was my conversation with Chris Stoddard. That's S-T-O-D-D-A-R-D. Now a trustee of Lead Academy, the charity that he founded some years ago. I would be taking away particularly that distinction between why we do something, a mission statement, and where we want to go, the vision statement. One being on direction and one, if you like, on why we're doing it in the first place. When I find out more, Chris mentioned the leadacademy.net. They sign up as a church team and they take you through a couple of years, meeting every 6 months to discuss your particular direction that you're going alongside other local church leaderships as well. And so I've never been on one myself, but I understand it can be an invigorating and an exciting time of discovery. Chris emphasized the importance of making sure that you and your team keep casting vision, keep living it out without, of course, boring the congregation or the group that you're involved in, but just reminding people why you're doing what you're doing and how you're going to get there and why you want to get there is so important. So this is Andy Peck thanking you once again for your company and looking forward to you joining us again very soon. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.